Hi, this is Jerome Gilmartin, JMJ Catholic Radio, bringing local and EWTN Catholic programming to Northeastern and Central Pennsylvania. Welcome to another In the Father's Hands program with host Mary Kate Grady. And Mary Kate's guest for this program is Nancy Breen, a wife and mother of seven children and two grandchildren, and originally from Missouri. Nancy is a convert to the Catholic faith. A woman of many gifts and talents, she has served God, her family, and her community through homeschooling, teaching natural family planning, being an organist at Mass, coaching cross country, and teaching math, just to mention a few things. A woman of authentic faith, Nancy lives in North Dakota with her family. Mary Kate?
Thank you so much, Jerry, and welcome again, everyone, to our program, In the Father's Hands. It's always so good to be with you all again. Before I wanted to jump into the program, I just wanted to make a mention of thanksgiving to God, really, for the life of Father Leo McKernan, who passed away, actually, not yesterday, but the Sunday before. And Father was a huge force with JMJ Catholic Radio, spiritually directing everything that was going on with this radio station here in the diocese, and just did such great work as a priest, not just with JMJ, but in so many different areas. When I read his obituary, I couldn't believe all the parishes that Father had served at and all the things that he had done. And so I was so thankful to be able to attend his funeral mass this past Saturday, and I'm just so grateful to God for him. So if you could keep his family in your prayers, that would be great. I'm sure they would really appreciate that at this point in time. And now let us go ahead and read our reading from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 10, verses 27, where Jesus tells us, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." We thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving us this promise amongst so many other promises that the Father's guiding our life and directing us, holding us, and supporting us in his hands. And we thank you for that promise to go forward in our life and to spread the gospel with that promise we have of such assurance of being loved. And I'm really excited today to have a dear friend of mine from North Dakota join us from North Dakota today. Nancy, thank you for coming on today.
Yeah, sure. Thanks for having me. That's great.
And we had just been talking earlier a little bit about how we're up here in northeastern Pennsylvania, of course, complaining about all our cold weather. And the last couple days, it's been below zero a few times, and I've been telling everybody, oh, this is North Dakota weather, and it doesn't seem to make anybody feel better when I say that. they have no sympathy, I guess, for you guys out there, Nancy.
Oh, shucks. Yeah, well, we're having a tough winter this year, but to be honest, we were due one. We've had about 3-4 years that kind of maybe above average temperatures overall and not much snow, so we're kind of getting hit pretty hard this year. It's supposed to be negative 34 on Thursday morning, and that's not with the wind chill. That's actual temperature.
That's incredible. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. And here we are sitting at -3 and -4, and we're having a meltdown, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I'm so excited to have you on, Nancy, and I always like to ask my guests to kind of kick things off what their favorite scripture verse is and kind of why I identify so much with that verse.
Okay, well, you know, that's kind of tough. I have a lot of verses I like, and I know sometimes I pull them out of context and use them and think, wow, that I really like that. But I guess one that kind of sticks in my mind that I learned when I was younger is Proverbs 3:5-6, and I could tell it to you if you want.
Please, go ahead.
It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and on your own intelligence do not rely. In all your ways, be mindful of him, and he will make your path straight. And I think just that speaks to me, because a lot of times we want to just handle things ourselves and figure it out ourselves and look it up on the internet or read about it in a book or talk to this expert. And basically, when it comes down to it, you can't do that. You got to put your trust in God. And so it's good to be reminded of that, because it's when you try to, I think for myself, when I try to start figuring it all out on my own and thinking I can handle it and, you know, make my pros and cons list and get it all squared away, that's when things kind of don't go quite right.
Right.
So yeah. It's kind of a pride thing too. I think that's probably, I know that's a major sin, right? And I mean, that's probably one of my top three that's kind of plagues me, where I think, oh yeah, I got this. That's the thing we say now, right? I got this. But yep. In all reality, we don't got this. God's got this.
True. So true. Yeah, I love that verse as well. That's such a good one. It's basic, but it's right to the point. It cuts
yep.
right to the heart of everything, you know?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, if you don't mind, I'd like to share a verse, if that's okay.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
I always like to share a verse at the beginning from the Gospel of St. John, because our program is in the Father's hands, and so that's where I get the verse from.
Uh-huh.
But there's a verse that I love that makes me think of you. And so in 1 Corinthians 9, it's I'm kind of taking it a little out of context as well. There's a whole paragraph there, but St. Paul says, "I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some." And I think about that verse a lot. I have become all things to all men. And it's just interesting to me. We'll talk a little bit about you here more so, but I guess there's just a lot of ways that I see that scripture verse alive in you, because as Jerry mentioned in the beginning, you homeschool, you play the organ, you've taught natural family planning, you're a wife and mother. You're kind of like all things to all men, Nancy. You do a lot of different things, and you touch a lot of different areas, you know. With sports, that's kind of one group of people, you know, but then teaching math or natural family planning, that's like a whole other group of people. And I don't know, I just wanted to share that real quick. I love that passage, and I've pondered a lot what that means, and knowing you has kind of helped me to understand more what that means. So,
oh, well,
but with
thank
that with
you.
That being yeah. said, just tell us like a little bit about yourself, Nancy.
Yeah, well, what you're saying is true. I do a lot of varied things, and I have to thank my parents for that. Give them a lot of credit, because they, I don't know if that was a conscious decision, but in looking back at my life, I think my parents did a really great job of just trying to raise up, you know, good people, and then giving them their faith and the skills and the, you know, the virtues, the things that you would need. And so I was born in Missouri and raised in Kansas, and then I ended up in North Dakota through a kind of a school program. Like I came up, I guess, to work at a program for Native youth at the University of North Dakota, and met my husband, and, you know, as they say, the rest is kind of history. But I just, over the years, I've always felt a call to help people, and it started when I was younger. I would do a lot with my own church group, and then I grew up in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and so I was very active in that, and I was involved in a lot of things at school and 4-H and helping people and doing projects and all this and that, and it just
sure.
kind of carried over into my adult life. And I think what my husband's Michif, yeah, that's a term that we use up here. He's Native American and French ancestry, and there's a whole community up here that's got that heritage. And the people here are very generous and helpful, and I was really drawn to that. And I think that's how we ended up kind of getting together. Because I saw that in him, and I maybe didn't always see that in some of the people I had otherwise been hanging out with in my college and young adult years. And so whenever he, I realized he was a Catholic, you know, I was like, oh gosh, if we ever get together, I'm going to have to convert this guy. Of course, Mary Kate Knowles, my husband, and there's like no way that would ever happen. So
no way.
but then I realized over the years, I'm like, there is a reason for that. Everything has a reason, right? You don't always see it mm-hmm. until you look back. And I'm like, I was meant to be Catholic, you know, and I had to meet someone of that strong in their faith to make that happen. Because had I met anyone maybe that wasn't quite so assured of their faith, mm-hmm. it probably wouldn't have happened. And so, but it's that generous spirit I see that I first saw him living out in the faith that mm-hmm. kind of drew me to that. And then as I learned more, I was like, you know, as a Protestant, I'm looking at, well, geez, there's thousands and thousands of Protestant faiths, and I was always told right. I had the right one, but how do I actually know that?
Right,
so,
right.
The more you look at it with the authority and the tradition, and it's like it has to be the Catholic faith. And now in our world today, you look at the Catholic Church and you see they're kind of like this light on a hill that they're standing there saying, standing up for what's right. And I mean, obviously, people in the church aren't perfect. You know, they fall and make mistakes. But the church itself, the one Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, you know, Jesus says, well, you know, he builds this church on the rock of Peter, and, you know, the gates of hell won't prevail against it. So you hold on to that, because with our world today,
mm-hmm.
it's crazy as it is. It's like that's the one true thing you can go to is your Catholic faith. And, of course, you know, of course, Jesus is the
right.
head of our church. And so, I don't know, I just rambled about a bunch of stuff, but I don't even think I answered your question.
No, you did. I do have another question for you that's prompted
yeah.
by this, is how do you feel like you've grown closer to Jesus by becoming a Catholic?
Yeah, well, I think in becoming a Catholic, I was able, and maybe partially it's living here too, where I have to say that the pull of the world is really, really great. And you see it all over, right? You see it in the media, and you maybe see it with, you know, people you work with or your friends and family. And you see it a lot with when I work in the school, you know, I see it among the youth. And it's like that pull of the world, the secularism and all that, it's so great. And it's also crept into a lot of maybe mainstream Protestant churches or, you know, other associations that were maybe once a little more tied to the faith, you know, civic organizations, so forth. And so, but I see the Catholic Church as really trying to uphold what it is. You know, it's that true church that Christ founded, and it's, you know, it's teaching the gospel and living the gospel, and what
right.
you've done to at least these, you've done to Jesus. And so, by being a part of that church, I feel it grounds me. It keeps me really focused on what's real, what's truth. And
mm-hmm.
and if I would have just stayed kind of more in my mainstream situation,
sure.
I don't think I would have been, I don't know if I would have been this faithful, you know, this close to God or close to all that. So I think becoming a Catholic was good in that way. And there's so many examples too in the Catholic Church, you know, like the saints, and you just feel like you got this connection to 2,000 years of history and culture
right.
that's been preserved through the church and the saints and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that's not really talked about or maintained in some of the other denominations. I mean, I have wonderful Protestant friends, and my family,
yeah.
most of them are still really strong Missouri Synod Lutherans. I mean, and that's, for those people who don't know, that's it's a pretty conservative branch of the Lutheran Church, so they actually stand up for most things too, where it's good because we have a lot of common ground, like when we're as a family, when we speak of things together, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But
when I was in the March for Life last year, I actually met a whole group of Missouri Synod Lutherans.
Yeah.
That right off the bat tells you right there, you know.
Well, and our bishop in North Dakota, John Fulda, he was at, before he came here, he was at a place in Seward, Nebraska, a seminary or a college, something like that. And right in the same town is a Missouri Synod Lutheran College. And he's oh, yeah, we were like, you know, supporting each other and, you know, working together on stuff because we were on the same page on so many things, you know.
Which that can be kind of rare, so that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. But yeah, I think the Catholic Church has really brought me closer to God, and it keeps me humble, too. Like you go to adoration or whatever, you go to confession, back to that pride thing. I mean, I think we have such a culture that's, again, it's, you know, I got this, independence, it's all about me, you know, whatever I want.
Right.
I said it's going to get worse, too, because, like, everybody's got their tailored music list and their tailored shopping lists, and, you know, you don't have to go out anymore and sort through radio stations or sort through clothes on the rack. You just go specifically to get what you want when you want, and it's like, wow, we're all getting so demanding.
Right, and that's, like, not really the life of a Christian, though, you know?
No, and when you have a big family, that's another thing. I mean, if somebody would have told me 30 years ago I was going to have 7 kids, I would have laughed them, you know, out of the room. But it works, you know, we're open to that. And having that big family, I mean, it's a blessing. Obviously, not everyone is called to do that. But it teaches kids to be more selfless. They have no choice, you know. They have to share a room. They have to wear hand-me-downs. They have to split this last piece of pizza or whatever it is, right?
Right, right. And basically for the parents, that's for the rest of your life. It's just set out for you, that life of sacrifice, you know?
But yeah.
The moment you have that first child, you're like, yep, this is going to be our life for the rest of our life because they're always your kids, you know?
They are always your kids.
You don't have to go looking for sacrifice, Nancy. It's right in front of you.
Yes, yes, it is. Yeah.
Yeah, if you don't mind me branching off in another direction a little bit, I know you it's been a few years now, but you were teaching natural family planning there, I believe, at St. Anne's.
Yes.
And maybe just tell a little bit about what that was like, doing that ministry.
Well, I enjoyed it as much as you can enjoy stuff like that. I mean, no, it was good, but I was one who, with the I think this is true for people of any culture, to be honest, but really in particular around here with the Native culture and the Métis culture, people were pretty, what do you want to say, private or just a little bit hesitant to really talk about things so personal and intimate. And so I ended up doing a lot of my class stuff individually with couples.
I see. Okay.
Which probably kind of was a detriment to me in that that's one reason why I kind of took a break from it, because it was getting to be a pretty big time commitment, as it's required by our diocese for couples preparing for marriage to go through some natural family planning instruction, which it's good. You know, I really think if people really understood it and had enough education about it so they felt more confident and appreciative of just how God set it all up. I mean, it's all set up. They wouldn't be, you know, so hesitant to use it or not trusting it or saying, oh, this is just a bunch of baloney or whatever. I mean, it's legit and it works. And so, but it's a completely different mindset of how the majority of couples are, you know, maybe grown up to think. So I think it's got to really be started even with not natural family planning per se, like the actual workings of all the couple relationship, but just that appreciation of how a girl's body is set up or a guy's body, like some of this theology of the body information for like young people and teenagers and some of that chastity education, all that stuff needs to start younger at an age, you know, age appropriate, of course, and not too explicit, you know, but just as kids grow so that by the time they're ready to date or get married, then that's just the next natural step and all that.
I think some people, it's like a complete surprise to them when they attend courses for natural family planning, because maybe they weren't raised for their minds to even go in that direction of how to view other people, the human person, dignity, what all that means. You know, that might be the first time in their life right. They're like, oh, I never even thought about taking this route. Like, this is drastic, maybe, for some people.
Yeah, I think so, because I think people, and we do this ourselves. Like, today we were supposed to have a basketball game, and I don't know, it was canceled. That's a big thing lately, right? Things get canceled for every reason.
Mm-hmm.
Insert whatever reason, but it's really been a thing the last couple of years, right? So you have to change your mindset. Oh, okay, now we're not going to do that. Oh, now we're not going to go there. Oh, now we're
right.
Like, once people get their mind locked into something, sometimes it's hard for them to change, even if you present really great evidence, or even if it's a necessity in the case of a schedule change. So, like,
sure.
People come to these, maybe come to a pre-marriage weekend, and they think they got certain things already figured out. Oh, we're just going to use this because this is all we've ever heard about, and this works, and it's effective, it's inexpensive, end of discussion, we got this. Again, back to I got it handled.
Mm-hmm.
And then they hear this, and it's just like this dissonance, and it's like, wait, I don't know how, you know, how's that going to work, or how can I switch my mind, or I already had this planned out, now it's getting switched up on me, you know what I mean? So it's kind of like, for them to just hear about it 3 months before they're going to get married or something, or four, you know, it's probably, you will have some conversion, some change of heart, but to really get, I think, things to stick, and for people to really get committed to the teaching and the idea of it all, I'm sure it's like everything else, you know, they say, oh, you got to evangelize better, start earlier, you know,
right,
do more, but yeah. It's true.
Yeah, that's beautiful that you took the time to teach that and do that. That's kind of a little bit of a challenging thing. Not everybody's a teacher, of course, but not everyone's a teacher of natural family planning. You know, there's a lot of faith and trust in God, I think, that ties into living that lifestyle. And so teaching about it, to me, might be equally as difficult, because you're addressing people that maybe their relationship with God isn't like where it could be. And so that also might make it challenging to accept the idea of natural family planning if the relationship with God is very strong. You know, I kind of think that those things go together, you know?
Yeah, no, that's right. I mean, so when you meet a couple and you can tell after visiting with them a while and getting to know them, you can kind of tell which ones are really open to the idea, or maybe they chose to seek you out, you know, they want to learn, you know, that happens, you know, especially when people are maybe struggling to conceive, like couples that are already married, because natural family planning actually is really a great place to start, because you can get a lot of insight into what's happening or not happening and possibly why. And right. To be honest, not a lot of medical providers will totally embrace that idea and look at it with you and help you understand, like, if you keep track of your month-to-month signs, the woman and the husband's helping and all this. Well, there are those healthcare providers who will totally embrace that and work with you, and they might even have their own charting that they suggest. But then there's others that even healthcare providers aren't familiar with it, and then they might just say, oh, you just take this pill and don't worry about it. So
right, yeah.
That only takes you so far. And then so couples will come to you at times and say, hey, can you help us figure this out? And that's really rewarding, because then obviously if they do end up conceiving after maybe months or even years of trying, it's like, wow, you know, there it is. God had it all laid out. We just had to kind of be patient and try to understand this. Or we had to get, you know, maybe a supplement here. I mean, I don't want to make it sound like it's always that easy. It isn't always that easy, but
Right.
You know, sometimes it actually is, but
yeah.
But then if you have couples that are just coming because it's required and they already kind of have a hardened heart about it, you know, those are tough to crack, mm-hmm. you know, but you just try to present it to them and hopefully you could plant a seed, you know, that they kind of could see something and understand. And sometimes other topics come up, you know. I remember one time I was working with a couple and she was saying, oh yeah, my sister had in vitro fertilization, and it was like, oh, okay. And so I kind of talked around that a little, and then I said, well, you know, the Catholic Church is against that, and here's why, you know. And mm-hmm. and I presented the idea that there's these little created babies that are now frozen, and what's happening to them, you know. And
right,
that's not right. And she, I try to say it as gently as possible, because I mean, I didn't want to make her feel bad. It was anything she didn't know about it. She had no idea. But but then once I told her, she's like, oh yeah, you're right. You know, not necessarily me, but you know, that's right. And wow, like people just don't know
to talk about these other things. Yeah.
And then, yeah, so it kind of leads to other things, but like, mm-hmm. then you have to be very charitable and understanding, because you got to meet people where they're at, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. Listen, Nancy, believe it or not, our time's almost up. So I wanted to just say that I loved having you on. Thank you for coming on and sharing a little bit about your life. And if you wouldn't mind, let's finish up with a glory be, all right?
Sure.
All right. Glory be to the Father,
and to the Son,
and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the
beginning,
is now, and ever shall be,
world without end.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.